So let me just check what number we're up to.
Four. We have four, aren't we?
The numbering system is a bit erratic.
4.1.
The last one was 0.5, but it wasn't. It's not. The first one was 0. The second one was 0.4. And the third one was 0.5. And this is just version numbering based on where I think we are in relation.
Get to episode one
In relation to having something that we can call a decent episode.
I think we should avoid ever having an episode one. I like that idea.
Well, is
99
this,
point...
Is this episode 0.5.1 or episode 0.6, do you think? In terms of quality,
I think we made some progress tonight. I think we
get
0.6 tonight.
Okay.
I think we made progress because it was definitely a different show than what we normally put. Quite often you put that microphone on, I see the bouncing little thing on the screen there. I go, I'm talking to the internet. Whereas this evening I began like that, and then I drank some wine. I went, I'm talking into a glass, and that's not necessarily progress, but.
It's a difference. It's enough of a difference to say it's a...
6.
Okay.
6. We're on 0.6 now.
So, ladies and gentlemen of the internet, this is episode 0.6 of the podcast Without a Name, coming to you almost live from Sawtell. From rainy Sawtell. As always, we are your hosts. Matthew. Poo.
Oh, fuck me. Sorry.
Should we try and impose some structure on this thing?
Structure. Okay, so, Sawtell. No, how can we impose structure? There's only wine left.
Oh.
Sorry, we're... structure. We're imposing structure.
Oh, if you want.
Okay.
So, apart from rain, what's been going on around Sawtell and environs?
I've been so busy, so, yeah, not I can't really tell you what's been happening in Sawtell.
Okay.
I don't think a lot has been happening in Sawtell.
No, the rain has been getting everybody down, I think.
I've been wildly entertained by my neighbour, though, who's currently in the middle of digging a swimming pool hole in the mud.
That's bad timing.
Yeah, yes, it's great. I'm entertained. Emrys is excited. Somewhere to wash his muddy feet. And yourself?
I've been really struggling against the urge to just sleep. I don't know if it's just me or if it's the overcast weather and working from home, but all the cats are asleep all the time, all day, and I think that looks jolly sensible. I don't know why. I mean, nothing much has changed from my daily routine, except I can't go for my afternoon walk. But other than that, there's no reason why I should feel less inclined to get out of bed and sit at my desk and do my stuff.
I'd love to have a routine. I'd love to have a daily routine. You lucky bastard.
Well... I don't so much have a routine as a ritual.
Is it satanic, or does it involve chickens?
No. It involves breakfast mainly. Just in order to get to the stage where I'm ready to do work, I have to go through the set of steps, which involves getting up, groaning, rubbing my eyes, and stumbling forward to the computer and checking to see if anybody's spoken to me.
You forgot about the aisle, right?
Hmm?
You forgot about Isle Riot.
That's why the solitaire games don't kick in until a fair way along this process. There's the getting up, the initial going to the computer and seeing if anybody loves me, and being disappointed. Then I feed the cats, and then I start thinking about feeding myself. And quite often, because I'm getting old, I'm not ready for breakfast straight away, which is odd because when I in my younger days, breakfast was what got me out of bed.
I was thinking the same thought just the other day, and by approaching old age,
yeah,
and how I wake up in the morning and my porky belly feels quite full,
yeah,
and I don't feel at all hungry, but I have this thing, feeling like I ought to have breakfast. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? And you sometimes have breakfast even though you're not hungry. You feel like, oh, I should eat something.
Yeah, well, I always justify having too much breakfast by saying, if you do all your eating at the start of the day, you're burning up those calories as you go through the day, sitting at your desk in front of the computer,
moving your wrist slightly when
yes.
you click on buttons, and
so that's why breakfast is an important part of my routine. So I get up, I think I'm not ready for breakfast yet. I'll sit in front of the computer and drink water until I am. And then I go and either reheat leftovers or make something horribly unhealthy involving bacon and eggs and...
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh. Should we just stop this now and have some bacon and eggs?
Alison and Nigel and I just had a conversation at the pub about the greasiest thing you've ever eaten. What's the greasiest thing you've ever eaten?
Greasiest thing I've ever... There's so many. I think English cafes... when I was a motorbike courier, that was de rigueur. You know, you go to English cafes, you'd be riding in the pissing rain, horizontal sleet and ice, and freezing your ass off. So it was very justifiable to actually have a greasy breakfast, and I was pretty lean back then and pretty hungry all the time because I was always freezing cold. And I remember probably about... You'd start the day about 6 in the morning, and by about 8 or 9 in the morning, you'd have a bit of a lull and quieten down a bit, and you'd go to a cafe and order a greasy breakfast. And an English greasy breakfast has to be seen to be believed. It could have changed now. I think they've gentrified all over there now. When I was last in England, they actually brewed coffee instead of just made horrible fart noises whilst mixing up the Nescafe. But they had, it must have been about half a litre of, you know, industrial grade tractor grease to fry your eggs and bacon in.
When I think of English nosh house breakfasts, I think of the opening scene from With Noel and I,
yeah,
where they're making the fried egg sandwich.
Yeah. Every time I see With Noel and I, it makes me feel homesick. Yeah, and you don't just have a fried egg sandwich; you fry the bread as well.
Oh,
you have to fry the bread.
My grandfather used to make fried bread. I can't do it. Some
Why on earth not? It's delicious.
somehow he did it in such a way that it wasn't nauseating when you ate it. On my attempts to do it the way that I remember him doing it, I just come out with bread dripping with fat. It's not pleasant.
The trick is
you have to get the right heat, I think.
Yep, nice and hot, and bacon dripping is a trick.
Ah, yeah.
Plenty of lard. Beautiful stuff.
That's another thing that's a thing of the past. My mother used to
black pudding. Don't forget black pudding. That's delicious.
Oh, no, I couldn't do black pudding.
Nothing like a bit of blood sausage.
I couldn't do that black pudding.
Oh, Matthew. one day I'm gonna have to introduce you to it. Right. Have you tried black pudding?
I've never tried it.
It's
beautiful.
It's almost like... It's like protein-filled Marmite slices. Actually, and another trick you can do with fried bread is if you actually spread Marmite on one side and fry it on the... You butter it, of course, before you put it in the deep fat. You know,
yeah.
You have a piece of bread, butter it on both sides. You put that in the dripping and fry it. And you put the Marmite on one side of it. So you give it a good fry on one side. Then you flip it over and give it a short fry on the Marmite side.
Mm-hmm.
Take that out and put it on the... 6 of those on the plate with about 10 rashers of bacon and 3 eggs and some tomato, tin tomato, which is being fried.
Okay.
And black pudding. Sorry,
Breakfast of Champions.
Breakfast of Champions, yeah. And you can see the champions all around you in the cafes in London. Bursting out of their capes. I had to cycle to work day. That was very disappointing because I heard there was a cycle bus from Taormina. So I cycled to Taormina to see what this lovely bus was that would take bicycles into Coffs Harbour. But when they say cycle bus, they mean a bunch of people on a bicycle cycling together.
Ah.
Lots of bicycles, sorry.
Right. They're talking... That to me, that's a cycle train, not a cycle bus.
I would call that a herd of bicycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was hoping one of them might turn me.
A convoy, indeed.
A convoy. Yeah, a bike bus is, that's just a rip-off way to get you to get off your fat bum and cycle over going, yeah, give us a lift. Oh, what? What? I'm supposed to cycle to work on cycle to work day? What are you talking about? So we cycled into Coffs. I cycled into Coffs when we met up with Rodney Deegans. And Cameron took a lovely photograph of Rodders and I.
Yeah.
And I think Cameron might have convinced Rodney to listen to our podcast. We better make it impressive.
Okay. No, the pressure's on now if we have a listener.
Oh my gosh.
we didn't sign up for that, surely.
Oh, well, just switch it off now, Rodney. I've been following that Freedom Box list. Have you heard of the Freedom Box?
I have heard of the Freedom Box, and I think it's jolly exciting.
Me too. There was a... I don't know if you saw that dent I posted about some guy who's wrote a Twitter clone in 32 lines.
Mm.
And, I mean, it wasn't a particularly good Twitter clone, obviously, in 32 lines of code, but...
Well, I mean...
Didn't have open status, which would be good, but... But, you know, it's the principle of the thing.
Which language did he write it in?
French. I don't know.
No, I mean... PHP?
I've got no idea.
Okay.
It might have been Bash.
That makes all the difference.
He could have written it in Bash. I got to the code and I went, I should read that later.
Mm.
And then I dented it in a... truly brainless way, and then I went on to read Program Will Be Programmed, all about how brainless people like me dent brainless comments about brainless things in a brainless way because we're owned by the, you know, medium or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, I didn't read the book, I lost patience because it was more than 140 characters.
Yeah, well, I'm having the same problem with Jonathan Zittrain's The Future of the Internet. I had the patience to sit through a videoed talk that he gave at the RSA as part of the RSA Vision Videos website. So I could sit still for an hour to watch that. But I'm finding the book heavy going, particularly because I'm just reading it off the PDF, so I'm like 42 pages in. Do you do much reading off PDF files?
No.
It's
annoying.
Made for it.
It's I had a discussion with a client today. They want a newsletter and they want to send it out as a PDF. And I was explaining to them the pitfalls of sending PDFs out. So, no, I it's a disaster. And they were saying, but the problem with HTML is it doesn't always look the same. And I said, that's life.
That's what it's designed to do. It's not up to you.
If you're looking at it on your mobile phone, you don't want it to be... sprawling across six sideways scrolls before you reach line.
As I think I've said to you before, it's an odd thing. The people, the clients that you get as a small web developer, are people who are scared stiff of writing whole sentences, but they are more than willing to throw in clip art and fonts and colours. They have absolutely no confidence in their ability to write in English, which may or may not be misplaced, but they have supreme self-confidence in their ability to do graphic design, which I can tell you 99% of the time is totally misplaced. Yes, that's what I was going to say. That's another thing that's disappeared dripping. I mean, my mother had this, and it was perfectly normal in the 70s. I think the 80s, this was another thing that the 80s abolished, was having the little stainless steel pot of dripping in the fridge. And my mother used to have this vertical grill, and the whole point of having the vertical grill was that all the fat would drip out of everything you cooked, and it would be more healthy. So she'd cook the sausages in that, and the sausages would end up as like crispy sausage skins with nothing in them except little chunks of gristle, because all the fat's dripped out of it, and there's just these empty sausage skins like castanets with like is it? No, it's not castanets. It's what do you call
cabanas?
Maraca? No, castanets. Yeah, it is. What's the difference between a castanet and a maraca? You're from Europe. You should know.
Got no idea.
Anyway, the things that are filled with some sort of grain and you shake them.
Maracas. That's the ones with the grain in.
Yeah, maracas. Okay.
Castanets are the
clippy
boards,
things.
Two clippy boards.
Okay.
You make horse noises on.
Good. We've resolved that. So we'd end up eating, for the sake of our health, these sausages that were nothing except crispy skin and bits of gristle that rattled around inside the crispy skin. But the thing is, all the fat that drained out of this stuff while it was cooking would go into the pot of lard, which you would then go and use to cook other things in. So
so you got to eat it in the end.
It got in your diet eventually.
It was all bullshit anyway. I mean, now we're allowed to eat fat, but we can't eat carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not supposed to eat bread and rice and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And again, when I was a kid...
And I swear I always knew that.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we had this food pyramid thing.
That's the food pyramid.
The food pyramid. And at the top is the tiny...
Bacon. At the top is bacon. No, it's the bottom. The base of it is bacon.
The base of it is...
Bacon's in there somewhere, yeah. Sure of it.
But at the top is the stuff you're supposed to feel guilty about, which is chocolate and whatever. And you
I never
only
got that. I just thought the food pyramid was... Everything in the pyramid was stuff you had to eat.
Okay.
So I used to try and eat everything in the food pyramid. Oh. I didn't realise you were supposed to feel guilty about anything.
Well, the stuff at the top was the stuff you're supposed to eat less of, because it's at the pointy end.
Okay.
And you work your way down until you get to... bread and rice and all this carbohydrate stuff.
The stuff you're supposed
which is
to avoid now.
Bread and rice and potatoes and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, I remember that. I remember seeing that food pyramid in the side of a cornflakes packet when I was a kid.
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I've passed that age. It doesn't matter what I eat. I just...
No, who cares?
It doesn't go away. I mean, I understand now why my father... For my entire childhood, he wouldn't eat breakfast. He'd go off to work with like three or four Vita-Wheats with Vegemite on in a Tupperware container, and that'd be his lunch. And that's all he'd eat until dinner time, when he had the sausage skins with bits of gristle inside rattling about, with mashed potato and tomato sauce and frozen veggies.
A lean, mean fighting machine.
You would think so, but he was constantly complaining. Look. You know, watch what you eat, because when you get to my age, which is now my age, once you've put it on, you can't take it off. And I can testify to that, because, you know, I don't...
Well, I went to Thailand and trained for 2 months with Evan to try and... Like, it wasn't just to lose weight, it was to, you know, have fun and stuff. But I thought a nice side effect of this is I'll come back looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. Well, maybe not like Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe more like me without a belly. But I, my body just didn't change. It just stayed the same the whole time.
I've got to say, you do okay, because you actually go out and go to work and do things. And that's the absolute killer, because moving from the big smoke to out to the country, out to regional Australia, where everything's supposed to be healthy and fantastic and wonderful... You go from doing about 2 hours walking a day, just walking to the train station and back and
every
forth
day,
and around
yes,
and around and around.
It's very true. It's very true.
To a situation where either you're working at home like me, or you're in Coffs Harbour and there's no public transport, so you drive door to door. And that is the absolute killer. That's what's going to get you, because you...
But, you know... I haven't told anyone this yet, but I'll just, between you and I and the rest of the internet, all those millions of, well, Rodney,
yeah.
Between you, me, and
you
Rodney,
me and Rodney, yeah.
I can probably share with you that I have a plan to get myself super fit before I die, apart from actually decomposing, which will definitely help me lose some weight. What I tell myself when my son says to me, come to the gym with me, and I think, what, so you can show me that you can do 15 press-ups on one arm and I can't do 15 press-ups on two arms. So instead of doing that, what I've decided I'm going to do is, when I don't have any responsibilities, which I admit is probably a flaw in my whole plan, when I don't have any responsibilities, I'm just going to just pack my backpack and just go for a walk.
Yep.
I'm just going to keep walking until I get to, the Hindu Kush or Siberia might be interesting. I'll just keep going.
I could easily do that as long as there were pubs every half an hour along the way.
I'm not sure. Well, we could do that in England. You know, there's. I remember going to where was it? Winchester? No, some town. Pick any town in England. Southampton, Winchester, Essex. No, that's not a town, is it? No, don't pick Essex. Any town, and you can be guaranteed that the pubs there are probably two pubs to each member of the population, and the streets laid with gold.
Yes.
but yeah, seriously, this town I went to, there was something like 200 pubs in this town.
Yeah.
And there was only about 20 people in the town. I'm exaggerating slightly. I'll look up Wikipedia later and tell you. It was a town designed for walking from pub to pub.
Mm.
In fact, England is a country designed for walking from pub to pub.
Yeah.
Whereas Australia is a country designed for riding on your horse and robbing somebody, being a bushranger for a few weeks and getting shot. It's not nearly as much fun.
I think it's overstating it rather to say that Australia was designed.
It was invaded.
Yeah. It was invaded by people with no taste. And there the suburb was invented.
Oh my God, I never thought of it like that.
Yep.
And here we are in the suburb of Sawtell.
Yeah, well, it's a village.
It's a village.
Anyone who says they're a suburb, you got to slap them down immediately
this
and
is
say,
like in England,
we're a village.
If you ask an English person if they're English, they say, oh no, I'm from Sussex. I'm sorry, isn't that in England? No, well, in Sussex we like to think we're an independent nation. Doesn't really work for people from Sussex, unfortunately.
The militant Sussex separationist movement.
Oh, you've heard. Heard of us.
it's not achieved much, but not for want of meetings. But yeah, I mean, I've on several occasions I've walked from Parramatta to the Sydney CBD on just a personal pub crawl sort of thing.
You
plug in the MP3 player and away you go.
Actually,
and it's
Cameron,
great.
Cameron did say that I think it was today. Yeah, and Cameron, if you're listening, just ignore the fact that I'm telling the world everything that you say. But he did say that it was interesting how you spell beer WALK.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. But it's a perfectly good solution,
yeah.
I think. So.
Well, it's an improvement. I used to spell beer WORK.
Mm.
You've
actually become an elevated species
now.
I
won't tell you which major multinational company this took place in, but
your clients appreciated it.
Yes, we routed that very well. We worked out how to have a long lunch, how to supplement the long lunch with an afternoon tea.
Well, after a long lunch, you can't really go back to work.
Well, and then how to sort of work your way gently up to the long lunch by having a morning tea.
Yeah, that sounds excellent.
And rather like you, I benefited from the pre-internet days when, in order to do financial transactions, you had to send a messenger boy with an envelope with a check in it.
that was a good job being
fantastic
on the pre-internet.
That was fantastic. I mean, especially in the Sydney CBD in those days when you could,
and the London CBD in my day.
Yeah, when you could get a schooner for $2, $1 at happy hour. I mean, the boss must have eventually realised that of the fellows in the mailroom, it usually took all of us to do the afternoon banking, which required delivery.
They're very heavy, those envelopes.
Delivery of two checks by five people.
The more zeros on the chest, the check, the heavier it is.
Yeah, and eventually drawing in people from other departments as well.
That was your mistake.
You know, people from
never get them in. Never get the people from finance involved.
I'm not saying Ron from Human Resources or Kerry from the Audit Department ever ended up in the pub while it was banking time. But I suppose that's gone the way of the horse-drawn Zeppelin now.
I'm sure that resourceful young workers of today have actually figured out another way of... No, actually, they're all quite, in the Australian sense, with a capital L, liberal. These days, aren't they, these youngsters?
They're very worky. Yeah.
Yeah, they keep working and feeling irresponsible and having a Protestant work ethic, as they used to call it in my day.
Mm.
I feel like an old man. I keep saying in my day.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting more comfortable with being an old man.
I think we should get a youth in here and gruel them.
Interrogate them. Try and...
Yeah, Wiki-Chi. I have to get Wiki-Chi here.
Yeah. I mean, even Cameron, because I mean he's
Cameron's scared. He's too scared to be here.
He can't stand the heat.
Cameron's happy to put forth ideas to people in the hopes that they will do the idea, and he can sit back and smile merrily whilst they do it, and be entertained by it perhaps.
Mm.
But to get him in here to sit down and talk,
in amongst this.
This
frightful array of technology.
This vibrant
here.
Audience we have. Yeah. Thank you, Rodney. I think we need
hold
to
that thought. We need to refill our glasses. actually, I think this is the first podcast we've done where we've started drinking before finishing the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned about that because I think when you listen to it tomorrow to edit it, you might actually find it becomes incoherent as the evening progresses.
Oh, well, they've all been incoherent, really, so...
Well, incoherent in the kind of putting people to sleep kind of a way.
That's okay, we can edit around that. There's a filter in Audacity to remove that.
Oh, good, good. Couldn't we just make droning noises for the rest of the podcast?
Yes.
And then add in an intellectual filter or something. Yeah,
you apply the witty filter, yeah.
Ah, the witty filter, yes. And if you combine the witty filter with the intellectual filter,
then you get Stephen Fry.
Oh yeah,
that's where he comes from.
He doesn't actually exist, does he?
No,
he's just made up.
As he gets older, the polygon count on the rendering is
getting saggy now,
yeah.
Isn't it? Now I find that problem with me too. Oh, we're just talking crap now, Matthew. Back to business.
Back to business, which was...
Sawtell. No, you did that. Did we use Sawtell?
We didn't
My
really.
My neighbour put a pool in, but it's not finished yet. It's a mud
yeah.
pit.
Yeah.
We have piles of mud in our yard and puddles. Emrys has invented a new game. It's an old game, but he's improving upon it.
Right.
He gets rubber gloves from the supermarket, big packs of them.
I'm not sure I like where this is going already.
He fills them with water and ties them up. He's really pleased with himself because he's managed to figure out how to tie them himself. And he lays them in strategic points in the mud piles around the yard and calls them flobberfish. I'm finished. And then he gets the garden fork and throws it at them. And it's surprisingly accurate. And blows them up and they burst and he laughs heartily and does another one.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because in my day when I was a child, we didn't make our own entertainment. Do you know what day is what day of the year
today?
Is
today? No, I don't know.
Do you know what day of the year is International Jedi Day?
No. What is that, British Election Day? Well, no. I don't know. What is it?
It's the 4th of May. Do you know why?
Because it's May Day in England?
No.
Why?
May the 4th be with you. Big Sawtelle news is we lost our pizza shop. Which has completely changed my way of life.
Has it actually gone or has it just moved?
It has not relocated. They are closing down for what they swear is just going to be a couple of weeks, but I'm a bit sceptical of that, given that the bakery was told the same story and they were shut for about a month.
And you two have experienced Salvatore!
Salvatore at the golf club, yeah.
I'm a bit afraid to talk about that, actually, because
I
have some interest.
Yes,
there.
Yes. But yeah.
I do have some excellent stories, but that might have to be for another time when there's no microphones around.
Yeah. On a totally unrelated matter.
Good.
We went to a pizza and pasta shop in Iluka when we went there for a long weekend a few weeks ago. And we ordered some pasta and it was really nice, and we ordered a small pizza. And she said, "Sorry, we're out of small." And I thought, "How is that possible? Don't you it's when you're making the pizza, you can make it any size."
God, didn't you know this?
Yeah. But as I say, that's totally unrelated to the Salvatore thing.
Salvatore thing is a similarly named place in a similarly named town elsewhere, where I had a steak once, which was completely wrapped in delightful crunchy salt crystals. Actually, when I say delightful, I mean disgustingly salty salt crystals.
That's an odd dish. I don't know if
it was inedible. It was a chemical dish. It was not good.
Okay, so this restaurant in another town somewhere,
far away,
presumably had some prepackaged steak seasoning or something.
Special thing. They had a big one of those metal dishes they heat up in the oven, yeah. Really, really hot, and then they cook a steak really quickly, rolled in salt, and then chucked it onto the hot metal dish and took it out to the plate, all sizzling and exciting. And they put it down in front of you, whoa, sizzle, sizzle, whoa, wonderful. Yeah, everyone in the restaurant's looking at you, and then you go crunch, 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 crunch to slice through it, put it in your mouth, and go, "I'm going to vomit." It was like something you'd take in a hospital to try and get that poison out that you just drank, It was terrible.
Ah.
So I don't recommend the salt-covered steak.
Okay.
If anyone considers going to a restaurant in an unnamed town.
I mean, another thing from the Iluka trip that Alice and I took, I probably shouldn't say this because we'll never be allowed back in the town again, and it's really beautiful in Iluka, which is...
Yeah, Iluka's a lovely place. I love Iluka.
It's just the other side of whatever river it is from Yamba.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going there for Christmas.
Okay.
I hope.
But the short advice is take your own food with you, because the dining options are fairly limited.
So if I go there, I shall actually get a large Tupperware container and I'll fill it with jellied eels and I'll take that with me and just eat that for the whole 2 weeks.
If you happen to like jellied eels.
Sorry, the whole catering aspect of this podcast is actually starting to get to me now. I think we need to change the subject and start talking about something interesting like balaclavas or anything.
Okay.
Anything else.
I'm stuck for sources of pizza.
Pizzas. We need pizzas.
Trouble.
I can make you a pizza. I'm very good at making pizzas.
Yeah. Do you make pizza dough? I mean, you're a baking fiend, aren't you?
Yeast. I love yeast. Yeast and me have an affinity. I think anything involving yeast, it doesn't necessarily taste good, but I like making bread and making things ferment. It's always good.
I've never done baking. I can do Italian tomato you know, throw things in with a whole lot of tomatoes and let it simmer away for 3 hours. I can do that. And I can do the Asian, chop up things into small bits and then cook it really, really quickly and serve it on top of rice thing. That's easy. But baking, always been a no-go area for me.
You check out the baking section and grab yourself a sachet of yeast and a bag of flour. Just plain old flour. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Go home, get that yeast, put it into a mug with some water that feels like it's blood temperature.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you stick your finger in, you shouldn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the same temperature as your finger, not warm. And you put the yeast in that with maybe a spoon of sugar, or you can use milk with no sugar, and then you just leave it there for 10-15 minutes and it should start to froth. This is a cooking recipe, everyone just take notes please. It should start to froth, and when it starts to froth, you get your flour and you tip your yeasty shit in, and then you pour some wine in there. Actually, you don't really pour wine in there. Just made that up, but you could anyway. It'd be interesting. Do that. Pour some wine in. Yes. I'd like to see some feedback on this.
Yes.
And mix it all up. And what you do when you mix it all up, you get your hand in there, and it's really sticky. You give it a good stir. Stir it all up till it's all gooped in there nicely. And you make it. Have you ever seen bread dough? You know what bread dough looks like. You've seen it on television, probably.
Yes.
You make it a bit wetter than you imagine bread dough should be.
Mm.
Because if you think about it, it's kind of like porridge. That flour is going to soak up the cheap wine that you just poured into it. And so you knead that for a while, and you get a knife and you scrape all the crap off your hand and bits of hair and bubble gum and
band-aids
mud under your fingernails, band-aids back into the dough. Put fuck, this is sound.
Carry on.
Better and better. So you put a tea towel over the whole thing, put it somewhere warm, you know, like on top of your cat or something. You leave it there for about an hour, and when you come back, you'll probably find it's doubled in size. And when it's doubled in size, you take it out, you put it on the worktop, you tear off the tea towel, throw it away because it's covered in shit.
Yeah.
Throw it away.
It's no good.
Pick out the band-aids and the bits of nasal hair and stuff. And what you do is you punch it. They call it the punch down.
It's
dead macho. You punch it. And what's happened is the yeast has all risen, it's all gone fluffy and crazy and stuff, and it's nice and sticky, and you know the yeast is alive. If it's grown and it's doubled and the yeast is alive, everything is going according to plan. And that's fantastic. And you punch it down, and then you get your hands in there and you knead it. And I mean you know, it's like a
this is going somewhere I'm not sure our audience is ready to go. You need it. You need it, baby.
With a K. Okay. It's a bit like GNU, but okay. With a K. It's,
right.
You can need it.
Right.
But it does apply all the same. You have to... we just pause for a second.
You have to need it, yes.
You try not to make a mess, but you... So after needing...
you have to knead it well, because you don't want to knead it really badly.
Oh, I forgot to mention the oil, actually. It was baby oil.
No.
Actually, baby oil is no good. It doesn't taste any good. You've got to have some
olive oil or something like that.
Whatever. Yeah. A bit of oil in there is always good. A bit of slipperiness. And you knead it around. And you've got to knead it for a lot longer than you think you do.
I have some Christian friends who will totally concur on that. Yeah,
I have some feminist friends who would concur on that too. They're always telling me I should go for much longer than I. They're not into baking though, strangely enough.
Odd.
Anyway, so yeah, give it a good kneading, and what you do is you push it down, and then you grab the corner where you've just pushed it down, and you pull it back over itself, and you push it down again, and then you swivel it around, you turn it, and you keep doing that. You'll find instructions on the internet, I'm sure. Just avoid the stick to the adult safe searches, and you should find how to knead dough there. And you give it a right good kneading, and then you let it settle for a while, and it doubles in size again because the yeast is still going strong. And it's nice and happy with all that stuff going on. And then you take it out of the bowl, chuck it on the carpet, wherever you want to do the final deed, and you chop it into loaf-sized chunks.
Bits, yeah.
And, well, you know, breakfast bowls, if that's all you've got. Smear a bit of grease around the inside of the bowl. Chuck your... before you chuck your dough in, you give it a bit more kneading, just a quick one, just to finish it off. Chuck it in the bowl, and let that rise for a little bit, and put the oven on whilst you do that. And when it's looking like it's almost loaf-sized, you chuck it in the oven on a really high temperature. I don't mean the heat of the sun. I mean 200 degrees centigrade or something like that.
About what a reasonable oven can do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you put it in the oven and it rises just a bit more. And you leave it. And don't open the oven door and check on it all the time because that fucks it right up. And you leave it in there for at least 40 minutes. Depends on your oven, actually. With my oven, it's about 2 hours, you know. But some ovens might only be half an hour. And after that amount of time, you should be able to open it and turn the loaf around to make sure it gets cooked evenly, unless you've got some fancy oven, in which case you're a wanker, in my opinion, of course. And when you're finished, you turn the loaf out and you pop in the oven for a couple of more minutes. And if you go to tap on the bottom of the loaf, it should make a lovely sound.
I heard that, yes.
But the best thing of all is the smell it gives off at this stage. If you didn't use too much wine and there's not too many nasal hairs in there, it should smell quite nice. And women will fall all over you. They'll
yeah.
go, my God, you're a man who can bake. They'll throw their knickers at you.
Yeah, I reckon that is true. We've been buying some sourdough bread from a bakery at the Jetty.
I know the one, Artisan.
Whatever. It's the bakery that's down.
$5.
It's the bakery.
Just add $5 into everything, and that's the one. Yeah,
it's the bakery that's downstairs from Alison's gym. Mm-hmm. So while she's working out, the smells are
bastards.
Wafting up through the window, and completely negating.
Low down trip.
Yeah. Negating whatever benefits the gym workout has done for you.
Not only does the loaf cost $7.50 for a loaf of bread, but you're also wasting $20 for that gym session you just worked up the appetite to go.
Yeah.
So I know that one.
It's tricky. Speaking of being a 20th century person, something I found out this week that shouldn't surprise me, but does, because, you know, I expect things to work the way that they did when the systems were designed. So, to me, the telephone lines should work to facilitate telephone conversations, and, you know, the pipes that carry water should be carrying water, and it's all very simple and straightforward.
When the NBN's introduced,
yeah,
we'll have water going down that too, you know.
We'll have fibre optic water, which will be crystal clear. It'll be...
Sorry,
and
carry on, please.
So for the past week or two, the girl from the granny flat behind us has been delivering some mail for us, because some of our mail has been turning up at the motel next door. So she's quite chummy with the people who run the motel next door, and she's been coming up to the door and saying, hey.
I met her.
Yeah. Yep.
She came to the door. I was actually here when she arrived.
Yeah,
it was very exciting for her.
Yeah. And this has happened quite a bit lately.
She's a baseball cap.
So yeah, she's down with the people who are in the hood. For those who aren't watching the video podcast, I'm doing the hand gesture now. So here's me thinking, okay, there's a new postie on, and he had the motel next door. It doesn't have any numbers on their letterbox. And ours says 1/81. So maybe he's thinking the motel next door is 81 and we are 1/81 or something.
181.
Yeah. Lord knows. But I'm thinking here's some poor guy thrown in at the deep end with his motorcycle and a whole bunch of letters.
You've been there. You've been a courier.
I have been that person.
Same here.
Yeah.
They can sort it out.
So I thought, okay, what I'll do is I'll go down to the post office and ask, is there a new postie doing First Avenue? And I went down there and asked them, and they said, "We don't know. We have no way of knowing." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Well, they all sort of leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they all work out of Taormina." And I said, "Oh, rightio. Well, next time I'm up at Taormina, I'll go to the Taormina post office and ask them."
Silly man.
And she said, "No. It all goes from a mail centre on an industrial estate up at Taormina." And it honestly hadn't occurred to me that post offices, the things that you walk past in the shopping centres and what have you, have absolutely nothing to do with the delivery of mail.
Silly, silly man.
And it just struck me. Post offices are just news agents that don't have any newspapers or magazines. They don't do anything else. They've got a set of scales on the front counter, which the news agent, granted, doesn't have.
They have a lot of cuddly toys for sale.
And
stationery.
And a selection of things from the ABC shop. But, I mean, a lot of those the news agents will have anyway. So
you can pay your bills there.
True. Okay, that might be one thing in their favour.
I have a bank in Queensland, and I can't... They don't have a branch here. I have to go to the post office to do that.
Okay. But the one thing the post office definitely does not do is deliver mail.
Yes.
And this strikes me as weird. And I think that's because I was born in the 20th century. I think to someone a bit younger, someone maybe Cameron's age, certainly Sean's age, this seems perfectly sensible. But to me, it seems completely cockeyed.
It's just a trademark. It's just a name.
Yeah.
It's just the post office.
Australia Post is just a brand. Because, I mean, everything that the post office does that a newsagent doesn't do, a newsagent could conceptually do. Because a newsagent, they actually do deliveries. They have cars going out throwing newspapers on people's lawns.
And the same guy you see in the car waving at you in the morning is the same guy...
Who's serving you.
A bit sleepy, serving you later on.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, while they're out flinging newspapers and magazines on people's doorsteps, they could be delivering letters. And there's no reason why they couldn't get a locked bag at the mail delivery centre and say, well, okay, address things to box 123 at locked bag 671, which comes to the newsagents, and then they do the sorting, and they can have post office boxes at the newsagent.
Hmm.
So, I mean...
Well, why don't we get a locker system installed outside your unit here?
Well,
we could start our own post office. We could take over the universe.
The pirate post office, just like pirate the goodies. Post office,
yeah. Let's do it.
A pirate post office.
I'd rather have a radio station.
Well, you can have one as well. Then we can use the radio to advertise the post office.
You're barmy.
Have I ever failed you?
No.
All right, then. I'll design the boat. You organise the post office, since it was your idea.
Oh, well, I wasn't really being serious.
And you get on with the radio station.
Radio goodies!
Boom.
Top fucking jaw, Manchester...
Punch you in the fucking head in a minute, man.
Happy fucking Mondays, Tat. Your proper, you know, now I'm getting Yorkshire and Manchester totally fucked up. Totally.
How long have you been in Australia for then, mate?
I've been in Australia all my fucking life. All my fucking life.
Did you take a few too many E's back in Manchester and it's just affected your brain and you've been speaking with a weird... No, hang on.
Top fucking jaw. Goodie.
You're twisting my melon, man.
Twisting my melon, man.
Let's go to the pub, Matthew. I'll buy a beer.
Sorry, podcast, we've stopped now.
No, one more statement to make.
Yeah.
I would just like to tell Cameron that we didn't mention Doctor Who once. You can stop it now.
Damn, we didn't either, did we?
Microphone. La di da. There's nobody here, but I'm talking to myself. Ah, oh, thank God you're back. I'm starting to feel self-conscious.